are listening to the Tableau Podcast.
Welcome to the Tableau Podcast. We have a special guest today, which is why we moved to a bigger, different room. And we even have like plants in the back for this special guest. Our first guest ever, actually.
Oh, I'm honored.
Because this is a podcast that usually, you know, we never thought about having a guest. It was just me rambling.
Yeah.
But we had to have you. It's Jacob Batalon.
Hey, what's good? Hey, thank you for having me. This is super dope.
Woo!
Hey, this is really cool. I can't believe we're talking English in Korea. This is almost a dream.
Oh, thank God. Thank God you're comfortable. Because this is, it's making me really nervous because you got to understand, like I've run into many, many different people. I've met many people, but you are special to us because we've been talking about Spider-Man so much in our podcast that it's like people are calling it like the Spider-Man podcast.
Okay.
And
are
now,
you cool with that brand?
Oh, we're totally fine with it. And now it's like totally official because you are here.
Hey, I love to make shit official. That's dope.
Ned Leeds himself is here.
Hey.
A couple of weeks ago, we had an episode where my manager was joining me on the podcast. And he went off on Tom Holland and Spider-Man.
Interesting.
For like half an hour about how in Endgame, he got in the way when Pepper Potts was trying to talk to her dying husband for the last time. And so my manager was like, and he was just going off. And I was like, dude, my manager is making me look really bad right now. But he's like, Tom Holland was like crying. And he's like acting like a baby. Just go, bro. And it divided our audience like crazy. And my manager's name is Eddie. So it divided into Team Eddie and Team Tableau.
Okay.
I defended Spider-Man and said that in that situation, I assumed that Spider-Man was faster, faster than Pepper Potts. So he just got there quicker. And what's he supposed to do? Like not say anything to like his dying mentor? And what is your take? Do you think Spider-Man got in the way and Pepper had to like push him out of the way to talk to her dying husband?
Yeah. Bro, to be honest, I could give less of a fuck about that movie, bro. Like, no cap. Like, no, it's messed up for me to say, like, but see, this is gonna piss a lot of people off, but like, really, I mean, I say this a lot of interviews, but you know, that moment for me wasn't really sad. It was really fucking hilarious.
Okay, like, explain.
Because, you know, knowing them, like knowing all of them, like it's just, it's hard for me to take them seriously when they act.
Yes.
So like when I'm seeing Tom cry and stuff, it's really just like, bro, come on.
Because this is your friend.
Yeah, like, come on, bro, really? That's not you crying. And I've seen his technique for crying. It's fake as hell. Like, what?
Is the fact that you're not in Endgame, does that affect his response? This is literally Ned saying, I could give less of a fuck about Endgame.
Yeah. But really, if I were to choose a side,
is it Team Eddie or Team Tableau?
I'll probably go Tableau. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, because that's kind of heartless, bro. Like,
yeah, because it's your boy.
That's your homie. He really did teach you a lot of stuff about being a hero. You know what I mean? He gave you his first, gave you your first suit. Like, I was there watching it. It was really amazing. But it's like, again.
But again, you don't give a fuck. I actually like that answer better. Team Jacob all the way.
Hey.
So for our fans, like our music fans who are, you know, being introduced you to you for the first time, which is strange to me because I'm sure they've all seen the movie. So say hello and maybe say a little about yourself.
Hey guys, you know, there's not really much to tell about me. You know, I'm from Hawaii, you know, for a small town. Moved to New York, went to drama school. I stumbled upon an audition and I went for it and it just happened for me. You know, it really just, all in the blink of an eye, really. I moved out to New York in 2015, graduated 2016, got the audition while I was trying to graduate. And, you know, since 2016, my life has never been the same. You know, like, it's been crazy.
So, technically, you started acting in 2016.
Yeah. basically. I mean, I was going to drama school and learning about it, but really, yeah, 2016, really, when I started working.
And Homecoming came out in
2017.
So, like, in less than a year.
Yeah, it all happened really fast. You know, I'm fucking fortunate as hell. Like, everything that's happened to me has been such a blessing, you know, like, just being able to, like, meet people and, you know, the opportunities that I've been, like, afforded. Mm-hmm. It's been amazing. Yeah.
Dude, that is awesome.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you. Seriously.
I've been following your IG.
Oh, thanks.
And, like, all the videos of you, like, playing video games and, like, that basketball in the pool, all of that. And I can just see you enjoying your life.
Yeah, thank you, man.
And it's in a very earnest way.
Yeah.
Where you're not even, like, flexing. You're just, you know, having a great time.
Thanks, man.
And I think that is inspiring.
Thank you, man.
And so, congratulations to you.
Appreciate that, man. Thank you. I think, like, yeah, sometimes people, like… Like, I appreciate that you see it that way because I feel like a lot of people, like, see it your way. But then there's also, like, naysayers who are like, oh, this dude's fucking, like, he thinks he's fucking shit because he gets this movie role and all that shit and all this stuff. And he thinks he's so badass and blah, blah, blah. And it's really like, you know, why can't people just live their best life? You know what I mean? So it's really, I'm really thankful that you see it that way.
Yeah, never think about the naysayers.
Yeah, never. It's so funny because people think, like, those sort of things, like, affect, like, actors, like, or, like, just entertainers in general, you know? And really, like, those are the kind of people who, like, we sort of need.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because otherwise, it's like, if you have no haters, like, I feel like you're not doing it right. So,
and it's only fair that you do have haters.
Yeah.
Because you've blown up so much.
Yeah.
And you have your own Lego minifigure.
Yeah.
Do you know this?
Yeah, yeah. I actually checked. I'm not going to lie. Since like 2017, I've been trying to see if there's a toy of me. And like the Lego thing is one. And then I have like a little mystery Funko Pop. So, like, you have to, like, keep buying mystery Funko Pops to find me, essentially.
To get you.
Yeah.
Because you're a rarity.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I am a huge collector of, like, Lego minifigures.
Sick.
And I got into it because my daughter is, like, a huge fan of Lego.
Oh, dope.
And for me to get the Ned Leeds figure, because it was, like, in a package that was a special package that was given out if you bought, like, a certain amount or something.
Yeah.
And I had to find some guy that had it in Seoul and then trade with him. Which was strange because for him, I'm a musician here.
Yeah,
so he's
like,
dude, you want to trade with me to get the Ned minifigure? And I'm like, yes, give it to me. And I gave him something. I got that.
It's
like in my collection now.
That's sick, dude.
And I look at it sometimes and I'm like, what would it feel like to have a Lego, you know, version of you, like made by Lego.
Bro, can I just tell you right now, I'm putting Funko on blast right now and Lego. Like, I've been trying to get my fucking toy and no one's saying shit.
What, they didn't send it to you?
No, like, and I'm just like, I just want one. Like, it's not hard to just give me a fucking toy. Like, really. Like, seriously, y'all. Like, what do I have to do? Like,
I think… This is the part where I be that dope guy and I'm like, hey, I brought it.
No.
I will give it to you, but I can't. Because it's very special to me.
Yeah, of course.
It's next to my Spider-Man figure and it needs to be there.
Appreciate that.
And
man.
Actually, I have you holding like a pizza.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I love you, but I can't give you that.
You know what? I feel really special that you see it that way, man.
Okay.
Thank you.
But that's congratulations on having your own Lego figure. That is insane.
It's an accomplishment. Yeah, it's definitely a milestone in a career.
All right. Something that we need to talk about.
Yeah, tell me.
Because our listeners all want to know.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
I know you can't say anything about it because it's probably not in production yet.
Yeah, right? You know, we're definitely not in production in any sort of way. I mean, like, we're still in sort of like the idea stage, really.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's a lot of things at work right now.
Uh-huh.
But I can't really expound on anything else. But really, you know, just stay tuned. You know what I mean? Our next films are going to be fucking lit.
Mm-hmm.
And trust me when I say this, it's going to be mind-blowing. So…
Okay,
yeah.
I trust that,
hey.
But something I need to say as a fan of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So for me, Spider-Man is one of those movies where the supporting cast is so amazing that it that's what makes the movie for me. You know, it's not just about like Tom Holland and Spider-Man.
Yeah, of course.
I just want to know if Ned, MJ, Flash… you know, Mr. Dell, like all the teachers even, like if they're all coming back.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all pretty set to go. You know what I mean? It's just really up to like the creators and everything else to like continue the story. I think like our main story is still intact, you know?
Thank God! Yes!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's all I needed to know.
Yeah.
All the other changes, whatever. But keep the characters.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. No, we're straight. I think we're, like, we're ready to go. You know what I mean? It's just really up to like up to everyone else. So, yeah. I mean, that's all I can say, really. But yeah.
Okay, that's awesome. That's awesome. Another thing that a lot of our listeners wanted me to ask you.
Yeah.
Like what it's like being an Asian American in the industry. I'm sure you get this question a lot.
Yeah.
And probably by now you've answered it like 100 times.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of our listeners are Asian.
Yeah, definitely.
And they're into like K-pop and stuff. So they just want to know what it's like at that level. Because this isn't just like, you know, the industry. It's like a huge like major studio system. Yeah. Like Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what it's like being an Asian American.
Well, you know, I think, well, first and foremost, it's very, like, I think it's like finally time that, you know, minorities get like sort of a voice in the industry. You know, I think that for the longest time we haven't really had representation, you know, people of color in general. And I think that for the most part, society, you know, is moving towards a more progressive sense in that, you know, everyone has a chance to be seen and heard.
Yes.
And, you know, now, like more than ever, I think it's great to be like a young minority in the industry because now, you know, people are understanding that there's so much more to life than these buffed up Hollywood dreams. So, I mean, it's amazing. You know, I think that everything that's been happening to me and our cast really has had like sort of like a major effect on like everything else.
I think so too.
It's been really, I feel like Spider-Man is definitely the first sort of Marvel film that sort of had like a diverse cast, which weren't all ancillary, where they all actually had meaning to it.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's been crazy.
What I actually loved about, like, Homecoming and Far From Home, like, the cast, is that, like, it just seemed like the reality I actually see.
Yeah, definitely.
When I'm in those cities.
Exactly. You know? And that's the whole point we were trying to do. I think people think we were trying to, like, force, like, our sort of agenda down people's throats.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it was one of those movies where, for the first time, it didn't feel like there was, like, an agenda.
Exactly.
And, like, no one was, like, knocking me over the head with it.
Exactly.
And then patting themselves on the back for being, you know, diverse.
Yeah.
It just seemed like the city that, you know, I was chilling in.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? It looks exactly like
and
reality.
I'm so glad that it came off that way because, you know, a lot of times people like put in the token Asian guy or the token black chick or the one random Indian girl. You know what I mean? So it's good that like it's coming across that way because it wasn't meant to be like, oh, look at us. We're doing this shit. Like it really was just to like emulate real life.
It could have been done in so many wrong ways.
Definitely.
Too. You know, like if, for example, like Ned's character all of a sudden says like, you know, from where I'm from, like my heritage, my great grandfather used to say, Peter, you know, like I'm so glad none of that came out, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And so many movies in trying to be diverse and trying to be like progressive have done things like that.
Exactly.
That just, you know, literally pushes us further back.
Yeah, exactly.
And I love that your character is normal and everyone's normal.
You know, that's really John Watts, you know what I mean? He's such a very like he understands what like the young people are going through.
Mm-hmm.
And that and the fact that when he was growing up, he had like a lot of diverse kind of friends as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, his storytelling was very, very vivid with us. And he had a very specific vision for us. And like I think we all kind of shared the same sort of like feel.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really just them and the writing team and really just the creative team really just putting that shit together. You know, it was really, really good. So
that's awesome. Where's Tom right now?
I think Tom right now, God. I just saw him in Utah last week.
He was chilling,
he was doing a Comic-Con.
Uh-huh.
And then I think he's doing something in Cleveland. But that's like in November or some shit. But I'm supposed to meet up with him in LA too. But it's like so crazy. Like all our schedules are so like wild. Like honestly, it was so random that I saw him in Utah. Honestly, so because I was just there, just like chilling. So it was kind of crazy seeing him. But yeah, I mean, we call each other, FaceTime each other every other day. Just talking about work and shit.
My wife and I don't even do that. Every other day, yeah. FaceTime?
No, it's crazy. I mean, like, people are like, oh,
that's y'all a
are-
commitment.
No, like, people are straight up like, y'all are like brothers. I'm like, nah, he's my lover, bro. Like, no cap.
Most lovers don't want to FaceTime every other day.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know? we really are into each other type shit.
That you guys used to live together.
Yeah, like, homecoming, you know, we were really fucking... We were living at his house and everything.
Let me stop you for one second. Since the beginning of our podcast, like since the first episode till now, there has never been an episode where there was so much cussing.
I'm sorry.
And I love it. I love it because I'm a rapper. And it took Ned being here. It took Jacob being here for it to become this way.
Yeah,
keep telling your story.
Well, I mean, really, like, Atlanta homecoming, you know, 2016 stuff, you know, we were really just hanging out. We were all underage, you know what I mean? So we couldn't really do shit. Like, so we would just be at the crib, just hanging out at the pool, stuff like that, watching movies, all
so
that.
So no drinking
stuff
at all?
I mean, can I talk about this?
No fake IDs?
I mean, no. I wish we could have, but we were so scared and so like, because that was like all of, like, really, that was like all of our first major thing. And we didn't want to mess with anything. You know what I mean? So
actually, thinking about it, it'd be really weird for you guys to try to get fake IDs.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because even before Homecoming came out, you were like already in the media.
Yeah, definitely.
That would have been strange if like, and then you would have to manufacture it yourself because somebody else would just know who you are.
It was crazy. I remember the first time I was in the media. And like one of the first headlines was like, who is this fat Asian kid with Tom Holland and Laura Harrier and Zendaya? And it was like that for like the first like 5 months of my life, like first 5 months. And like after that, when we started doing press and stuff, they were like, oh, so this kid was actually doing something more important than just being an extra. Oh, and then it was so funny. And then when the first trailer came out, everyone was like, oh, this shit's legit. This kid's doing something crazy. And that's when everything kind of blew up, really.
Did they say, who is this Asian kid? Or did they say, who is this fucking Asian kid? It was, because that one word in there, stuck in the middle, changes everything.
No, they definitely didn't have like any sort of like animosity. It was more just like, who the fuck's this? Like, really, like, who the fuck is this kid? And so, it wasn't like, oh, fuck this Asian dude. It was really just like, why is this fat kid in this movie? Really. Like, no cap. It was really just like that, yeah. But, you know, I feel like I've been dealing with that kind of shit my entire life. So it was really just funny.
I feel like you had a lot of interviews today.
Yeah.
Where you had like a translator.
Yeah.
So you couldn't really get some of this out.
Yeah.
And like, you're so happy to be on my podcast.
No, right I really now. Am. No, some because like, I like being in like different countries, you know, there's like this level of like, I need to like respect like the sort of cultural
of course,
sort
yeah.
of thing, you know? And I think like in America, I'm very like opinionated. Mm-hmm. But even then, I feel like I need to be filtered mm-hmm. and like and kind of concise. Mm-hmm. But you know, I feel like with things like this, I could say a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, you really
can. I feel very liberated right now.
I mean, we started by saying like you don't give a fuck about Spider-Man Endgame. You know,
that by the
about
way,
the death of Tony Stark.
Literally, by the way, I'm so afraid of what people are gonna say about that. Like, they're literally gonna hate
no,
me.
No, no,
no.
Like, if they saw your face as you were saying I saw your face and you meant it in like a very warm way.
Yeah.
You know, in the kindest way possible.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Because I, it's not like I hate them. Like, I definitely don't hate them. You know what I mean? Like, without them, I wouldn't have learned how to be in the industry.
You had hearts in your eyes as you were describing how you don't care. And, you know. In the best way possible. Yeah. They might not pick it up off the audio. But everyone in the room saw that, right? Just hearts. Out of his eyes for that beautiful moment.
I'm gonna try and salvage that by saying like without them, I wouldn't be who I am, you know, and without the fans especially loving us the way that they do, we definitely wouldn't be in this position. So thank you for allowing me to all this shit. Because without you all, I wouldn't be able to say fuck Tony or fuck Peter, you know what I mean? Like I'm so happy that you allow me to do that. So thank you all. I love you all. That's all I'm saying.
Wow, you really said fuck Tony. I thought my manager was crazy.
Can I tell you? Tom and I were doing this. We were doing like a commercial for Audi, and we FaceTimed.
I saw that commercial.
Yeah,
I loved it.
So thank you. So we FaceTimed Robert in the like in between takes. And we were like, we felt so dope, right? Uh-huh. We felt so dope, like filming in this really fancy ass car. And bro, all Robert said was like, oh yeah, well, how about I'm gonna show you dumbass clowns what I'm doing. And he like, he changes his camera on the FaceTime and he's on this like fucking 70-foot super yacht.
Oh my
with
God.
With a fucking helipad, like a helipad.
Like a James Bond villain.
Bro, like no cap. He was really just chilling, living his best life on this yacht.
So he's literally Tony Stark.
Yes. I don't think people get it. He's really Tony Stark.
Like, and just laughing at you.
Literally.
Young kids.
He was like, oh.
Youngins.
Literally. He's like, oh, Jacob, what's up, bro? I can't believe you fucking know this, blah, blah, blah. Like, how does it feel to everyone know your fucking name, bro? Without me, you wouldn't be shit, blah, blah, blah. He was literally talking that shit to me. He was literally talking that shit to me. And I was like, oh, yeah, I love you too, bro. Like,
That's awesome.
It was sick.
Oh yeah. My God. He is Tony Stark in real life.
Really, he's doing all kinds of initiatives too, like saving the earth, like dude, all environmental shit.
After like his, you know, his ending.
Yeah.
Like every single thing he's been doing on Instagram has been to save somebody.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Dude, that is, he's like a superhero in real
literally,
life.
Literally, it's
that
like,
is awesome.
It's so inspiring to watch him work because him as a person is already so amazing. Like, his fame and his star power is like unbelievable.
Yeah.
But yet like he's like this very like down to earth, humble sort of like he like his sort of fame doesn't phase what he's doing. And that's truly inspiring. Seriously.
And this is coming right after you said fuck Tony.
Literally, yeah.
Which, you know, totally tells me how much you love him.
No, I do.
And you said that.
Again, like yeah. Again, he's I feel like he's giving me so much advice too. It's like it's so funny. Like I'm thinking about it in the moment, I never thought about, you know, what he said to me.
Mm-hmm.
But like afterwards, you know, not seeing him for a while and thinking about like what he said, it's like really true. All the things that he said to me clicked very well. So, I mean, again, love you. I love you, Robert. Seriously.
I love you, Robert, too. I've never met you, but I love you, too. Speaking of Robert, yeah. I don't know if you've seen this. This just came up on my feed. So this is a picture of Tony Stark and Pepper Potts in bed, right?
Oh, shit.
I think this was in like Iron Man 2 or something.
Is that the same shirt?
Yeah, but look at this. Pepper Potts is wearing a shirt, yeah. Right? This strange shirt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in Homecoming…
Yeah. He has the same shirt. I remember.
For some odd reason, Peter Parker is wearing that shirt.
Yeah. I remember that shirt vividly.
Right?
Yeah.
What's dude doing wearing someone else's, you know, his mentor's wife's shirt though?
Can I just
isn't that crazy?
Can I just tell you, this is like, again, this is like Marvel's thing about like putting weird ass Easter eggs in like random places.
Yeah, but this is not like an Easter egg. He's literally wearing Pepper Potts' shirt for some reason.
You see, like, if I speak my true opinion on this, people are going to be really, really upset about me. Upset about that shit.
I'll just say my opinion.
Say it. I'd love to hear it.
I think there's a reason why, like, you know, like, Robert Downey Jr., like, Tony Stark was so hard on him. You know? I'll just say it. Yeah. I mean, like, there's something sketchy here. And now I understand why, like, he got there before Pepper Potts and had to say his piece, like, before Pepper got there. Because this is crazy. You know, they wouldn't do this, like, without knowing.
No, trust me. John Watts definitely
yeah,
does.
They are very detailed.
Like that. Yeah.
There's a reason why, you know, Peter's wearing that shirt. I think this is insane.
Yeah. There's this other thing that John Watts does in Far From Home, like in the license plates on the cars when the monsters are attacking us, like especially the one we're on the London Bridge or the Tower Bridge.
Yes.
There's a license plate there that like references the comic
the number. Yeah.
Yeah. Where the monster first appeared. And that's like in the license plate.
Oh, dude. Another thing I wanted to ask you then. Was it Far From Home or Infinity War? At the end of Infinity War.
Yeah.
You do know that you appear, right?
Infinity War. Oh, you mean… Oh, that's the end of Endgame, I think you're talking about.
Was it Endgame when like… No, it was Infinity War. Mm. Oh, it was Endgame.
Yeah.
When Peter comes back to the school and you guys hug.
Yeah.
There's a girl that walks by.
Yes, yes.
And
heard of this.
She's like wearing the Spider-Gwen colors.
Can I just say…
From Into the Spider-Verse. Which is one of my favorite movies ever.
Can I just say, for the love of God, I feel so bad for that girl. Because she probably thinks she's so famous now.
But were you aware that… Because this can't be a mistake. She's wearing like a spider web, you know, skirt. Why would you…
See, I'm… Being on the other side of things, I get why fans like to dig deep into that type of shit. Mm-hmm. But really, honestly, like, that day, I was crying my fucking eyes out for like 15
because
straight
it wasn't
days.
Intended?
Yeah. No, because we were working on the scene, you know uh-huh. what I mean? So I paid no attention to that girl until someone pointed it out to me. Uh-huh. And really, like, again, I just think that's fans really just digging deep into like some sort of storyline.
But do you think that it was intentional or it was like a mistake? Because for example, if this girl, right, yeah. who was just supposed to walk by you guys,
yeah.
decided to show up on set wearing, of all skirts.
Trust me, bro. When I say this, like, there's so many extras that they deal with uh-huh. that most of the time they wear their own clothes to set. So like that,
and
that
she could have been just wearing that.
Yeah, literally. That's probably just her own personal skirt. No cap. Like, I'm serious,
dude. Then she's a genius. Then she knew this was gonna go viral, right? And like the director didn't catch that was happening. That's insane. Because she wore the perfect colors, like, of the Spider-Gwen suit.
You know what's so fucked up? You know what's so crazy? Well, when you say that, like, the directors didn't notice. Uh-huh. I hate to say this, but extras are kind of herded around like cattle. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that sucks.
They're treated like shit. And it sucks. Like, it really does suck because they're like major fans. You know what I mean? Like, they, like, them having the opportunity to just be in a movie like Marvel. Like, it's amazing for them.
Now so, that
like,
you put it that way,
yeah.
it could have been like her big fuck you to that. To that system, you know, like being treated like, you know, less than like people.
Yeah.
I'm going to take this moment, put on this skirt and these colors and show you I'm important. And she literally did.
Please keep fighting the power. We need that.
There's a possibility that she might be able to flex this moment to the point where she does get casted. Okay. And like, if she takes it all the way.
Yeah.
I'm going to be her like first IG follower because like I totally championed this like she flexed like crazy.
You know what that's amazing, but I just don't want to take away from actors who work hard and actually audition for the part though, you know what I mean? Like, it'd be one thing if like she's like an aspiring actor and she really want to do shit, but you know, if they're just going to give the role to some random extra because she wore the certain clothes skirt. It's like it's kind of like shitting on the industry.
That is true.
But you know, like, hey, more power to you, you know?
Dude, speaking of other characters in Spider-Man, are you going to ever be Hobgoblin?
Bro, I've been preaching this since 2016.
Because that's the only way this makes sense.
Yes, that's all I'm saying. But really, it's like fans just really love Ned being the sidekick, you know, like the fanboy on the sidelines.
I love it, which is why the payoff
of me becoming him is like
so
good.
When you become evil would be so much better.
Yeah.
Right? Because we are so like in love with the character and we want him to be like the happy, like the great friend.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I honestly thought from watching like Far From Home, I thought there was going to be a moment where like, you know, something's taken away from you.
Yeah.
Like someone that you love.
Yeah.
And it makes you go to the dark side.
Can I tell you how, like, I've been thinking about that for a long time too. Like, I was thinking
like personally?
Like, yeah. Like, I was really thinking like, what if like Betty died? And like Peter couldn't save her. And
that's what
like,
I was thinking.
And then it would be like, why the fuck couldn't you save my girl? Blah, blah, blah. And then he'd fucking hate him. And then that'd be the beginning of him becoming Hobgoblin type.
I thought when you guys were like in that amusement park, like on that ride, I thought that was gonna happen. And I actually saw this with my wife and my daughter, and I was like, I think Ned's gonna die. not Ned's gonna die. I think Betty, Betty's gonna die, and Ned's gonna turn evil. And my wife, who doesn't follow any of the comic stuff, she's just like, what are you talking about? and then that became the focus of the movie for us. Like where like Mysterio and all this didn't matter.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, she didn't die? What? They're fine? What? And towards the end, my wife's like, what happened? Like she didn't die. And I'm like, I don't know what happened. And that became like our whole thing.
You know what? That's so crazy because people were thinking that I was gonna die. Like people were genuinely thinking like, oh, they base this off like some part of the trailer where Peter Parker's like crying with the eye goggles up. And someone was like, yeah, because in the comics, you know, they both go to Europe and that's where he gets killed as the Hobgoblin. Yes. Maybe they'll interpret that into like Ned dying as Peter.
And then you come back as a villain, right?
Yeah. No, they just assumed I was going to die and that's the end of Ned.
But there's never been conversation about you becoming a villain?
I mean, I mean, as far as like the team goes, like the creative team, I mean, like, I'm not sure. Like, I definitely, like, we definitely talk about it a lot. But in terms of like it being like a serious possibility, it's like,
because I really want you. I want Jacob to get like more jacked than Tom.
I appreciate that.
Like,
yeah.
Out-jacked.
Yeah.
Out-jacked Tom. And then you come back as like the Hobgoblin.
Yeah.
And like totally just destroy and crush it.
Can I just, I want to do that so, you have no idea how bad I
want to
do that.
Yeah, because you mentioned that you wanted to be like a Sith Lord.
Yeah.
In an interview. Yeah. And I really think that you would play a good villain though. I
appreciate that. God damn, Tablo, what the fuck?
The reason why though is because you give off such a positive vibe.
Yeah.
And it's people like that, like actors like that.
Yeah.
When they take that dark turn, it's just so much more scarier.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
And that's why I don't know if this is gonna like offend you.
Yeah.
But I saw that interview and I was like, you would play a really good serial killer.
Oh, thanks, man. I feel that. Like, you know, it's okay, so
that doesn't offend you at all?
No, not at all. Like that's actually a very
I just said
no,
that
I feel very confident.
You would be a very good, like, cold-blooded murderer.
I love that as a compliment.
Okay.
Seriously. I think, you know, because I think like in some sort of egotistical way, actors want to be stretched, you know, creatively.
Yes.
And, you know, essentially, like that sort of like creativity. Is somewhat kind of quelled when you know have to stick to one sort of like direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, in drama school, I was barely doing comedy. You know what I mean? Even when I was doing comedy, you know what I mean? That stuff was just like so like easy. It wasn't even a thing.
Mm-hmm.
What I really focused on a lot was trying to be like crazy and dark and like twisted in my mind and sort of and those sort of things. And that really spoke to me on a deeper level because, you know, it's just like, there's just like levels, you know what I mean? And like comedy is just such a light subject.
Yes.
And I mean, personally for myself as an actor, I want to be taken more seriously as opposed to just like being some funny guy.
Uh-huh.
And because I've made my living off of being a Ned. And, you know, I appreciate every part of this universe that I'm in.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, if it were between having a leading role in some sort of psycho thriller or being Ned in the fifth Spider-Man, I mean, like, I'm definitely going to do the thriller thing.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So that's really just how my mind is.
And I'm just saying, like, the stuff you did as Ned, because it's so great on its own as well, right?
Thank you.
And nothing will take away from that.
Yeah.
When you actually end up doing some dark stuff or something that's very different, it'll only make it better.
Thank you, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I appreciate that.
Because people will be used to you as Ned, but that turn, that dark turn will be just more frightening.
Thank you, yeah. I really appreciate that, man. Seriously, you know what? I genuinely… I didn't watch the Ted Bundy thing on Netflix, but Zac Efron apparently killed it.
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah, he literally killed it. He literally killed a lot of people in that movie.
And I didn't… I mean, like, I had no idea that he had those kind of chops, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, being a Disney kid and then, like, you know, using your looks for, like, more than half your career, it's like… I feel like, personally, like, if I was Zac Efron, I would feel like they're just using me for what I look like.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I feel like being afforded the opportunity to, like, do something like that and show people what you can do is very, like, again, very liberating.
Yes.
So, you know, I like that. I really enjoy that aspect.
So we will wait for this serial killer movie.
I'm really preaching this stuff out loud right now. I know, like, I'm, like, in some foreign country saying it. No, not Korea's really foreign, but, like…
Well, it is a foreign country. It is. No, like, it is in America.
I don't want to seem like I'm, like, in some far-off, distant land or anything.
But… No. Whenever I go to America, I'm, like, I'm in a foreign country. It's totally fine.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm just trying to be inclusive, I guess, but it's really not working.
I think you should work with like someone like David Fincher.
Yeah, I feel that. I definitely feel that.
You know, I want to see what a director like David Fincher would do with an actor like Jacob.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That sounds very interesting to me as well. David, if you ever come across this.
Is your agent in here?
I wish he was.
Okay, well,
goddamn.
Your agent's probably listening. Get to fucking work, dude. Are you still literally just listening and not picking up your phone?
Bro, shout out Jason Cunningham. Shout out John Domingos. Shout out Rachel Altman. Shout out…
What's the agency?
Shout out Paradigm.
Yo, Paradigm. Are you literally just using your phone right now to listen to this podcast? Turn the podcast off and make some calls.
Bro, that's so funny.
I'm with WME.
Oh, okay, sick.
That's
like top. That's like top three. Like top two, really.
Yeah, our group is with WME.
That's dope.
And I'm just saying, Paradigm, make your move. Make your move now if you're listening.
Oh, man, I can't even speak on that agency thing. I feel like it's so political when you start to say shit like, oh, this guy from this agency is talking to me. What are you going to do about it? You know what I mean?
Oh, it's like the whole Entourage thing. Have you ever seen Entourage?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've never seen that shit.
I always thought that was fiction.
Nah.
Until I actually went out to Hollywood and met with these agencies.
Yes.
Dude, it's like literally the same.
And can I just tell you, like, it's not like it's a bad thing, but they're all really the same. Like,
yeah.
Their sort of attitude, they're all basically the same kind of person.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
But in a frightening way.
Definitely. Like, they're like, you know, like their power, like the word of mouth is so real in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like, literally, you can say one thing and it's a wrap for you. And it's like, it's dangerous. It's dangerous.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually, you're schooling me right now. Really?
Yeah.
Paradigm, I'm not with you, but I love you.
You know what, though? But that's the thing, though. I think when you want to be like a sort of like standout-ish type of client to them, that's kind of how you build yourself. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to be some sort of submissive person who's just like, oh, I'll do whatever you want. You know what I mean? Because then it's like, What could you actually offer if you're just saying yes to everyone?
That is true.
So, yeah, that's what that is.
Yeah, we need people like agents.
Definitely.
Yeah, they're definitely scary, but we need them.
Please preach that. Seriously, I cannot. For some reason, I can't be mean to people and it sucks ass. Like, it sucks. Like, I feel like shit when I'm mean to people.
Me too.
But like agents and like PR people will
They're so good at it.
Oh, they will like make you feel like shit and be like, oh, that's just a regular Tuesday. You know what I mean?
They scared the hell out of me.
Yeah, hell
like,
yeah.
The first time I went out to Hollywood and I met with like various different agencies.
Yeah.
After I met with them, I come out and my manager's like, those meetings were great. They all want you. Like, and I'm like, are you sure? Because it sounded like they hate me. Like, it. And that's like, he's like, that's just the way the agents are.
Yeah, that's how they play the game.
And I'm like, that's frightening. I just want to quit right now. I want to retire.
Oh,
like,
fuck.
I want to give up my dreams right now. And he's like, but think about it. If they're against you, imagine those people against you.
Yeah.
Having them on your side
is
like the way to go.
Hell yeah.
And I'm like, all right.
Yeah, I definitely got schooled really hard when I, the first time I met my agent, Jason, you know, I was living. Shout out Jason Cunningham, bro. Love you and your wife. You know what to do. But I was living a very different lifestyle when I first got Spider-Man. You know, like after the movie finished, I was in a very weird sort of spacey kind of space in my head spiritually.
After Homecoming finished.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, you know, I had no direction. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I had no like sense or like no sort of footing in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of just like free flowing, doing whatever. And he really just sat me down and was straight up and was like, dude, if you don't do this, this, and this, you're done. Like, you're not going to make it out here. So it's either you change your shit or you're just going to be one and done. And that's all you're going to be known for.
Wow.
And I was like, fuck, that's really real.
It sounds like he cares.
He really did care about me. You know what? Without him, I definitely wouldn't be here. You know what I mean? Like, everything that I've done, I feel like was a part of like him helping me. And with everything that he's helped me with, I wouldn't be in the same sort of space.
Oh, shout out. Jason?
Yeah, Jason.
Jason Cunningham.
That's the bro, man. Love you,
JC.
Bro. Love you.
Just like Jesus Christ.
Too bad he don't got the hairstyle like Jesus.
We had some questions from this Facebook group called Subtle Asian Traits.
Oh, sick. Yeah.
It's a very popular Facebook group.
I love that.
Michelle Becerra.
Oh, nice. Is that Filipino?
No. I think so.
Oh, sick.
You understand Filipino, but don't speak it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this question was in English.
I thought you were about to bust out some Tagalog right now. Yeah, I was like, okay.
One of my best friends in college was Filipino.
Oh, amazing.
So I understand some of the cuss words.
Yeah.
But nothing else. Because he would always cuss at me like in Filipino. In Tagalog. And I had no idea why.
Oh, man. I could do a whole list right now.
I could spit some out right now, but it'd be highly inappropriate. So Michelle wants to know, are there any strange Asian interests the Spider-Man cast has picked up because of you? I think she means like boba.
Yeah.
Or,
you know what? I feel
because you're going to be throwing out boba at your, like, you know, cast members just because you're Asian, right?
You know what's so funny?
Have you had some pocky today?
You know what? Now that you ask me that shit, I feel so embarrassed to say that I've never imposed my Asian-ness on them.
I don't think they make you feel like, it seems like when you guys are together, like none of you impose any of that on each other.
It's really not like about that. We're really just chilling all the time with each other. Like, I feel like it's so weird today in society that you have to like show that you're a certain thing.
Yeah.
Cause you know what I mean? Because it's like, why can't you just all be just chilling?
Cause like Tom Holland's not going to be like, "Hey Jacob, would you like some tea?"
Like literally
in the middle of like hanging out. And then you're like, "Thank you. Here's some boba." You know, or
I don't
like,
even think boba's Filipino. Like, or what like, the fuck?
I know, but you know, because you're Asian, you have to bust out something Asian. Have you read some manga? Like, you know, that would be insane. I'm sure Michelle didn't intend for us to be saying this stuff.
So like deeply into this bullshit. Michelle.
It was a great question.
I'm so sorry. But no, I wish I had. I wish I had introduced him to adobo. I wish I introduced them to like sinigang, you know, sour soup. Shout out, auntie. Shout out, mom. Love y'all.
Some like Korean, like cup noodles.
You know what it do?
You've seen Tom Holland eat ramen before, though, right?
I made him eat it. We were in.
Okay, so you represented.
Yeah, definitely. We were in Singapore, and he was like, "Oh, what's in these noodles?" And I was like, "You mean ramen? It's ramen, bro."
He asked, "What's in these noodles?"
I was like, "Dog, why don't you just take
a sip? You can't see what's in here?"
I was saying, bro, what, you can't, like, you
Tom?
Don't, what, all of a sudden you don't see shit, Tom? The fuck is this, bro? Like, the fuck, dog?
You think something's living in there?
You thought I put some fucking bugs in that shit? Fuck off, bro. What the fuck is this?
Man, I can tell you guys really are friends.
No, he's my bro, man. Like, I could talk all this shit to him. Like, literally.
That's what friends do.
Yeah, seriously, that's what bros do. I love him so much. Like, again, he's, like, one of the people that has really helped me with my career. Like, besides Jason and everyone else, like, really, he's, like, my first friend that I made in the industry.
Shout out Tom Holland.
That's my broski, dog. Love you.
I love you, too.
Yeah.
I don't know you, but I love you. Cara Isabel Dizon.
Ooh, hi. Hello.
That's a great name.
Yeah, very long.
She asks, how did your family feel about you acting?
Oh, man. Can I just say, like, I feel like every Asian family has like a standard for you.
Yes.
Like, if you're not like a doctor or like a lawyer.
Don't dishonor the family.
Like, and if you're not smart or like getting like honor roll in school, you're basically trash.
Yeah.
And that's just like, and I'm not saying that's like bad or anything. You know what I mean? I get it. It's good to have high standards, but really, it's like there's no acceptance of like what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that they basically shape your future for you. And
that's not the way to live.
Yeah, definitely. It's so hard. It's difficult. And so it made me want to leave and move far away from them as much as possible. But they were very reluctant at first, you know, to let me go to drama school because I dropped out of like community college because I wanted to study music theory.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, it was.
Seeing that on your like Wikipedia?
It was crazy. It was a crazy time of my life. I was such a cocky asshole, man. Like I thought I could like, because I could play instruments and like sing a little. And, like, I remember doing this open mic thing, and I got booed off a stage. It was trashy as fuck. Like, my dreams were, like, shattered that night. And, you know, that really humbled me in that sense, you know? And so they let me do this thing, and they were very uncertain because I'm the youngest in my family.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they like, smothered me my entire life. And they just didn't believe I could, like, you know, like, live on my own, do my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for a while in New York, they were kind of right. Like, I was really fucking shit up.
Struggling,
like, bad.
Right?
Really, really bad. This is something I haven't told my family, but I was actually homeless for like a week and a half.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I was like… Where were you sleeping?
Well, my best friend and I, we basically were like… We would like couch surf and then we kind of snuck into like this like dorm that we got kicked out of.
Dude, I did that once too.
Yeah, it's…
I slept in the library at Columbia.
Dude, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Like, bro, no. Like, if you don't know anyone, there's, like, no place for you to go. But basically, we ended up finding the spot, this YMCA, like, this dingy-ass YMCA that's on the G train. And the G train only has, like, one stop in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
And it's ghetto as fuck. Like, no cap, it's ghetto as hell. And it was across this police station, so at least we knew we were safe, kind of. And, like…
Or even more dangerous.
Yes. And, like, these hotel rooms we were at… Basically, like, we're, like, $20 a night.
Uh-huh.
Like, we had a communal shower. like all the people in this like dirty ass hotel were like all kind of old creepy looking dudes.
Just a showering, scary place.
Literally just showering with their balls out. You know, it was it was crazy. Just
technically doesn't everyone shower with their balls out?
I just like, didn't expect because I mean I didn't expect to be like seeing all these like mature men naked in the same bathroom as me.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a different experience.
Well, we have saunas here.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I've never done one of those. Like, I've been to a sauna, but I've never been to one where it's, like, fully nude like that.
Well, I've grown up.
Doing this,
I've grown up looking at mature men fully nude.
Dude, you know what's crazy?
With their balls out.
I used to be a CNA, and I would, like, clean up, like, old people's shit. Like, you know, incontinent, you know, people who can't.
When was this?
Back in Hawaii. I was, like, 17, 18 at the time.
Damn.
Yeah, and my mother has a nursing home, so I grew up around old people.
Yes.
And so I would do that all the time. I would clean up after old people, do all those things, eat lunch right after we changed their dirty ass diapers, which takes a very strong stomach, by the way.
Yes, yes.
Like, especially if you're eating brown adobo after you, like, you know, clean out shit from some bedpan.
I can only assume. I can only imagine.
So, like, I thought that was cool, but for some reason, sharing a shower with these people, like, really rubbed me the wrong way. And not literally, because thank God. But, but it was really bad. It was a really, really bad spot for a second.
So you were literally living like that for, like, a week and a half?
Yeah, just about, almost half a month, really, now that I'm thinking about it.
And then the Spider-Man thing happened.
No, I was actually, well, I fucking broke down and I had to call my cousin to help me out. So I was living in Connecticut for a little bit.
So you're really struggling.
It was tough for a minute. It was really, really tough. And, you know, my best friend's dad came down to help us find a spot.
Uh-huh.
And we basically stayed at this place for like 4 years and I just moved out. So it was crazy for a long time. Well, thank God.
Dude, I was just imagining, like, visually, as you were telling that story, like, all these different things you were saying about, like, the showers and stuff.
Yeah.
And that, this was intense. Like, I feel crazy.
No. It was insane, man. Because, like, I feel like, you know, moving out there, we were still only 18 when we were doing that shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We were like,
you guys were kids.
Yeah. Like, literally had no idea what the fuck we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow we didn't die. Thank God. Appreciate you. But yeah, it was wild. It was a wild time.
Oh my God. How did we start talking about being homeless?
Oh, fuck.
I totally forgot. I totally forgot what we were talking about, but whatever.
Damn.
Yeah, whatever. We'll have to listen to figure it out. You have cats?
Yes, three cats, actually.
Three cats? What are their names?
Azzy Cat, short for Azriella.
Mm-hmm.
Hoochie Cat. We call her Hoochie Cat because she loves to show her ass to everyone. And then Koa Cat, he's this black stray cat that my cousin found. She's like very into cat rescue.
Uh-huh.
So like she rescued this cat basically. He doesn't fucking like me. But the other two love me to death.
So you love cats?
Love them. I mean, I really just love animals in general. And like I notice there's a difference between people who love dogs and people who love cats.
Dude, I am all about cats.
I'm saying because like if you love cats, that means you love every animal.
Oh, yeah.
Well, like, if you love dogs, you're just like, oh, fuck, I just want dogs.
A lot of them are, a lot of people are allergic to cats. if they love dogs, I notice that they think that they're allergic to cats when technically they're not.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I'm just saying, like, people are like, oh, I just had a bad experience with the cat and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's not every cat, you mother. You know what I mean?
The cat thing, for me, it was like forced on me.
Really?
Because I was renting a room in East Harlem once.
Okay.
When I was in college,
for
the summer, and the lady that was renting the room to me, it was in her house, and she had like 9 cats.
Fuck.
And every morning when I would open my eyes, they would be all on my bed. So it was just like, you know, cats all around me, and I thought I was allergic too.
Yeah,
but I got quickly used to it.
Yeah,
and then I started loving cats,
dude. Like, that's like a sign of affection, by the way. If they want to like lay on something that you're on while they're there, it's because they genuinely like you.
That's I even actually have a song called Lullaby for a Cat.
That's sick.
And you need to Google this when you get home.
Yeah, because, I'll fucking listen to it.
Because you have 3 cats. This song became like a phenomenon in Korea.
Oh,
it was
sick.
Like on the news and stuff.
Yeah.
Because for some odd reason, I titled it Lullaby for a Cat. And it literally works as a lullaby for cats.
You are lying.
No, I am not. So people started posting it, and these vets and, you know, these vets in Korea started testing it for real.
Yeah.
And for some weird reason, the song I made literally worked as lullabies. Which is insane.
Holy
right?
shit.
So
this is actually crazy because cats don't give a fuck.
Try it out on your cats.
That's so dope.
I have no idea why it works.
Dude, you know how crazy that is? Because cats don't care about anything.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
And this shit was on the news. And I'm like, what's going on here? Like, is this that big of a deal here? And and literally I saw like thousands of videos of cats like falling asleep to this song. And now like people are calling me like the cat whisperer.
Bro, that's you know? A sick alias. No,
and
cat.
now I have to like, I have to, you know, be responsible.
Cats. Yeah, you gotta rep cats for the rest of your life.
I have a hat for you later that says lullaby for a cat.
Oh, I'll dude, I love that shit. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
So what's next for you? Like, we're almost out of time.
Yeah. So, you know,
we talked about a lot today.
We really did. I spoke a lot of shit.
I love it.
Well, I'm going to finish the rest of this Asia tour. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to go to Australia. And then I'm going to go film this thing in Vancouver.
What are you filming in Vancouver? You can't say?
I actually don't think I can speak on that. But
it's a new project.
Yeah. It's a new project that we're doing. It's going to be really great. Mm-hmm. And then LA, I'm going to be in LA in the beginning of November doing press for this Netflix film that I was a part of called Let It Snow.
Mm-hmm.
Shameless plug.
Is it like a Christmas movie?
It's a Christmas movie, yeah. It's basically like Crazy Stupid Love, but for millennials.
Uh-huh.
Or like Love Actually.
Okay.
So, you know, everyone has their own storyline and it all kind of correlates.
Everyone's on their phones?
No, I wish I was.
Okay.
Goddamn. But phones are a pretty popular part of it.
Okay.
But so yeah, that's coming out in November. So I'm doing press for that, and then I'm gonna be in Hawaii for this film festival.
Uh-huh.
They want me to be there for some odd reason.
Dude, Hawaii is awesome. Any excuse to go?
Love it. Like, I mean, all my family's back home, so you know I'm gonna see them too for a minute. So that's really like my schedule throughout November, from now to like November.
Uh-huh.
I'm very busy. But this has been like a really fun part of my trip so far.
Like just meeting new people.
Yeah.
Being like, in different places.
It's so cool because it's the first time I'm ever like doing a press tour like on my own. Like, mm-hmm. you know, usually I'm with like Tom or Dea or like someone like that.
Mm-hmm.
And like I'd only have to do like one or two interviews every other day.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm literally doing everything every day.
Yeah, it looks like you're doing crazy. Like 10 interviews a day.
It's insane. And I've never done that much shit before ever. Like, I mean, I've done like weeks worth of press before. But again, with other people.
And you're a good sport, dude. Like,
thank you, man.
Because you're here after 5 interviews. Usually people are tired.
Yeah.
But you had so much energy today.
Oh, thank you, man. No, it's really just like about, I just really want to put out a good word for us and for Sony. And really just like, again, like us as like a crew and wanting us, like just wanting to put us out there. Like, mm-hmm. we love everyone who gives us support. And we just want to give that love and back. So
the movie that you're shooting in Vancouver, you said?
Yeah.
You can't mention.
I can't really speak on what it is.
I can only assume it's like Spider-Man 3.
Like I wish
Sinister
it was,
6.
I wish it was that soon.
Miles Morales.
I wish it was that lucrative.
Jacob as the Hobgoblin. I'm just going to think to myself that that's what it is.
If only it was that lucrative,
right?
Goddamn.
I have that freedom, right?
Yeah, definitely. I want you to because, you know, I learned that whatever energy you put into the universe, it comes back to you. So yeah, keep saying that because I'm definitely going to be in the Sinister Six. I'm definitely going to be Hobgoblin.
You know who else is saying that right now?
Who is?
That girl that was at the end of Endgame with the spider skirt. Spider-Gwen is thinking that right now.
She's hey, look.
Willing it into reality. Well, Jacob, thank you so much for being with us today. Jacob Batalon.
Thank you so much for having me, bro. This has been really fun. I hope you guys don't take everything I say seriously because really, I was just talking a bunch of bullshit. Dude. I just love all y'all.
All our Tableau podcast listeners are so used to bullshit that they just know. They just know to laugh.
Dope.
Thank you so much
Thank
for
you,
being
man.
Here.
Thank you so much for
Thank
having
you.
Me, bro.
Come back to Korea anytime.
Definitely.
And whenever we're out there in the States.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can link up.
Let me know. Yeah, definitely. That sounds really fun.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate you.
Oh, anything that you need to plug right now, like socials?
Spider-Man. So digital release comes out September 17th, DVD October 1st.
Life is Aloha.
You know what it
on
do?
IG.
Instagram, check it out. I hit like 1.9 mil followers.
Hell yeah!
I have no idea how that's possible.
Yo, after this, it's going to be like 3 million.
Oh shit, Tableau said that shit.
And Tom's going to be like, oh my God, you're catching up.
God, I can't even speak on him. But yeah, Let It Snow comes out November 8th. I believe, on Netflix. But just check it out in November. Some good stuff. And yeah, just stay tuned for more Jacob.
And Spider-Man 3.
Sick.
In my heart.
You know what to do.
Thank you. Bye-bye.